Well, this morning, we are looking at Acts chapter 11, so if you grab your Bible, open up there, we're going to look at the whole chapter as we continue our Acts series to the ends of the earth. You know, Jesus said in Acts 1:8 that he's speaking to the disciples and us, saying, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Okay, so Acts is this story, the history book of how Jesus initiated his church by his Spirit and then worked through Spirit-empowered believers to spread the gospel around the world. And this story has continued all the way up to today. I mean, you could put in Acts chapter 4572, verse 17, and it would say, "And the saints advanced the gospel through Risen Life Church in Salt Lake City in 2026. This is what this book is about. God's advancing gospel through the Spirit as he continues to save people. And so as we approach the Word of God this morning, this chapter 11 in Acts, I want to ask the question. Have you ever been surprised by the way God was moving? And maybe even who God was moving in? Okay, this is a good question. Maybe even so surprised you weren't sure if what you saw was God or not. Okay, this is what we're going to see in this chapter a bit. If you've seen Jesus Revolution, anybody seen that movie? If you hadn't, I would encourage you to. It's a great movie. And the actor there, one of my favorites, Kelsey Grammer, plays Pastor Chuck Smith, who was a pastor of a small church in California, and in Chuck Smith's very traditional church that was slowly dying, some hippies began to show up in his church because God was doing something in them. And guess what? Some people in his church did not like them being there. And so he went into this time of agony, kind of wrestling with, what is God doing? Is this of God? Am I going to join it or not? And after much personal agony, he decides to embrace what God is doing, even though he is saving people that are unlike him, that don't talk like him, that don't dress like him, that come from a very different culture. And when he does, his church begins to grow exponentially. It's quite a cool story, actually. In fact, if you know Chuck Smith, he goes on to found the Calvary Chapel movement, which has blessed so many people across this nation over the years as they have focused on the salvation of lives and learning to love the Scriptures. And so as we see this morning, God wants to show us the bigger picture of his saving work around the world, and he's going to ask this question, will you join me? Right? Will you not be offended at what I'm doing, but will you join me as I save people that might not be just like you? And so we're going to see God move here in a surprising way. That's hard for the early church, mostly Jewish background believers, meaning they were Jews and they were saved by Christ, and now they're bringing some of their cultural background into the church, and yet God is continuing to advance the gospel into the non-Jewish world. It's important to note here, this has always been God's plan. Okay, this is nothing new. God has been working at this since the beginning of the Bible, since we ran out of the garden in our sin. In fact, in Genesis 12:3, right, God promised to Abraham that as I work through you and your family, that will be a work to save all the families of the earth and bless them. In fact, the Jews have been celebrating this for thousands of years, and now God is bringing it about through Christ, and we're going to see here in Acts chapter 11 that he's making true on his promise, right? The whole world is going to be blessed through this gospel. And so, as he makes good on their promises, they'll find their cultural preferences, even some culturally determined theology, bumping up against what God is doing, which is a good warning for us. You know, as God advances the gospel in the world and grows his church, let's be careful, as Peter's going to say here, not to stand in the way of what he's doing. In fact, rather, really the big point, I think, of this chapter is know what God is doing by his word and faithfully join him when you see him working to advance the gospel. Okay, we're going to see this here. A couple different things. So the first one is this. Let's look at the surprising work of God here in the first couple verses of Acts 11, 1 through 18. Look at verses 1 through 4. It says, now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea, that means kind of the Jewish background believers, they heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, you went to uncircumcised men and you ate with them. How could you do that, Peter? But Peter began and explained it to them in order. Okay, so let's look at this. So there's been an undeniable work of God that has happened in the Gentiles, non-Jews that are coming to Jesus. And this is very surprising to some of the Jewish background Christians. That they're having a hard time with what God is doing here. In fact, he names them the circumcision party. So likely these were Jews that had come to Christ, but they believed if you come to Christ, you ought to have the marks of the Mosaic covenant, circumcision being the main one, to actually be a Christian in the tradition of Israel. So in other words, they wanted all believers in Jesus to follow the Mosaic law to show that they had become part of God's people. And circumcision is kind of the foremost law there. So I want you to see this. This is a Jesus plus gospel. Okay, and this is going to plague us a bit here in Acts and in the book of Galatians. Paul's going to work at this. Luke works at this. This is a Jesus plus gospel. They're saying you can be saved by Jesus, but, right, make sure that you've also done these other works. Okay? It's easy for us to add requirements to the gospel, especially cultural ones where Jesus has added none. I was thinking about this week. Even as I was growing up, I felt like there was a lot of I grew up in the church, right, became a believer, but there was a lot of Jesus plus things that kind of went on. They were mainly aesthetic, and so I can think back, it was kind of like, Jesus saved you, but really you're not a good Christian unless you wear a suit to church. This is what I grew up with. Or for the women, it was, that's great, you want to look nice, but those better be clip-on earrings and not ear piercings. Anybody grow up with that? You might even also have the fact that, hey, you better not work on Sunday because real Christians don't do that. Okay, these are all Jesus plus gospels because the Bible is very clear. We are saved by grace through faith. We put our faith in the work that Jesus did, and then God is pleased to account what Jesus did to us. So there is nothing you could do to make yourself more pleasing to God or take away his love for you, because it's not based on your work. This is not a Jesus plus gospel. And in this case, the plus was circumcision. And so they're also not happy with Peter because he's also broken further Mosaic laws by eating with these uncircumcised men. And so the Old Testament has these categories of clean and unclean and holy and common. And he has broken these by him being a holy person, right? He has now been with unholy, common people. He has eaten and shared a meal with them. And so he has profaned himself in some ways. And so Peter responds to this accusation by basically recounting the events of Acts chapter 10. You know, it's always when the Bible tells you something two or three times, it's really important. And this is a case. He records word for word what Ben preached on last week. Peter says, look, I was praying on the roof of Simon the Tanner's house, and then I saw this vision, and this great sheet came down out of heaven, and it had all sorts of animals on it, and God kept saying three times, rise, Peter, kill and eat. He's like, I won't do it. I'm a holy Jew. I won't do those things. And God keeps saying, no, you got to do this. Don't call unclean or common things that I have called clean and holy. And so right when this vision was over, he has men come from Cornelius that show up at his house from the Gentile where Peter was staying. And in Acts 11:12, Peter says this, "And the Spirit told him, Peter, to go with the men, making no distinction." Okay, again, these men, they're sent to Peter by Cornelius because an angel had appeared to them and told them to send for Peter because, look at verse 14, "Peter will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household." And so Peter then goes to them and shares the gospel, and they are saved. Here's what Peter says about that moment. Look at verses 15 through 18. Peter says, "As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, the Gentiles, just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you baptize with the Holy Spirit.'" That's Acts 1:5 he's quoting. He says, "If then God gave the same gift to them," the Holy Spirit, "as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" In fact, he says, when they heard these things, the Jewish background believers, the circumcision party, they fell silent. And they glorified God and said, "Well, then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." Peter's basically saying, look, here's what happened, guys, right? God saved these people, and here's how I know how. They received the Holy Spirit too. And here's six other guys with me that saw it happen. And he's saying, so how can I deny what God is doing in these people? And surely, I don't want to stand in the way of God if this is what he's doing. He says, but what I've seen is that the Holy Spirit fell on them just like it did to us in Acts 2. In fact, many people call this chapter the Gentile Pentecost. Right? There's actually four places in Acts where the Holy Spirit comes, and in every place it's to show you these people are included in the saving gospel of Christ. This is the second one. There's two more to come that we will see. So God has fallen on the Jews with the Holy Spirit. He's fallen on the Gentiles with the Holy Spirit. He's saying, I'm drawing all people to myself, and here's how you know, I've given them the Spirit. Now, when he sees this, these guys draw the right conclusion, right? They fall silent. And then they glorify God and they say, well, then our key verse, right? Kids, if you're looking for the key verse, this is it. Then to the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. And if you are here in this room this morning, you better say a hearty amen, right? Because that's all of us. If God didn't do this one, we'd be in big trouble. But God said, I'm saving the Gentiles, which is me and you and everybody in this room. Amen, right? We all have access to the gospel and God's Spirit. Okay, what this also means then is this. We're going to apply this a little bit here. We have to be really careful not to limit the gospel to the people that look like us. Okay, let's think carefully about this for a second. Who is it in your life that you think it would be shocking to see come to know Jesus? What people group would you be surprised if God moved in? Maybe even offensive to you. Think about that. You know, I remember after 9/11, there was this swelling kind of distaste and distrust of people from Middle Eastern countries and descent of Muslim background, and this sentiment has remained, and not for so many reasons, but it has remained and has even grown recently. But what if God brought many Muslim people to the U.S. so that you could share the gospel with them? What if God's doing something bigger in our geopolitical things than you ever thought possible? What if God brought them so that you could share the gospel with them? I remember being a college minister at the U, and at that time, Saudi Arabia was sending a lot of their students, paying for everything, is sending them to the U. And so many of these guys I befriended, got to know, sat down with them, got to share the gospel with them. And you know what? God was doing a movement across universities where he saved many of these guys. You'd never know it. And you know what they did? They took that gospel back to their country. You have no idea what God is doing. So don't be offended at what God may be doing in different people. You know, what if God wanted to move and save many of the immigrants from Central and South America that are in our country right now? Would you be offended at that? In fact, what if he was using the sin of folks to break the law and get here illegally, and then he was going to redeem that by saving their soul and use you to do it? I bring these up because these are offensive to us, right? You know, one of the blessings of learning my hack Spanish is that I try to speak to the folks that I see, right? The people that I see at restaurants, the people I see at Walmart, the people that come over and do work on my house. And you know what happens when I begin to speak Spanish to them? Man, they light up like a Christmas tree, right? We start having a good conversation, and many, many times I've gotten to invite them to church. I've gotten to teach them about the gospel. Would you join God if that's what he's doing? Would you set the politics aside to say God might be doing something bigger than you ever thought in people you would not like, and he's asking you to join him? This is the feeling that these Jews have as God begins to save Gentiles. And this is not, listen, I want to say this too here. God is not saving different people just because he wants diversity in heaven. And he's not doing it because he wants to affirm all lifestyles. Okay. Rather, he's wanting to call people from every background that he created back into relationship with him to follow Jesus, surrendering their old ways of life, their parts of their culture that don't align with the gospel, to call them into transformation in the gospel, just like he does with us. Our culture is not all right. God asks us to be transformed just as he's doing a work in these people. And all the way back to Genesis 12:3, the Bible says this has always been God's plan to save all the families of the earth and bless them. And so I want to challenge you this week. I want to challenge you to start a gospel conversation with someone who doesn't look like you, because God's moving in their life and he wants you to join him. So let's not stand in the way of what God may be doing to save the world, but rather faithfully and joyfully, as we're going to see here, join him in advancing the gospel in people that are not like us. In fact, actually now let's look at the next thing in Acts 11:19 through 26. God is going to show us what it looks like to faithfully join him now and several believers. Look at verses 11 through 20 or 11, 19 through 21 here. And a surprising faithful response. Verse 19. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, or the Gentiles, also the Greek-speaking, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who there was there who believed and turned to the Lord. Okay, let's notice a couple things here. Notice that gospel advancement came in the midst of sinful persecution. Okay, think about this for a second. The stoning of Stephen in Acts chapter 7 was a horrible event. An horrible event for Christianity. It felt like possibly the beginning of the end of the early church. But God used and redeemed the evil of the acts of those men as it scattered believers out from Judea to advance the gospel. Don't discount what God is doing in your life. Don't discount what God is doing in our world and in our politics. When they get crazy, you can guarantee God has a gospel purpose, and we need to join him. We don't know how God will use the difficult events of our life and our world to grow us in Jesus and to grow his church. And a believer's response is to keep walking faithfully, right? Walking with God to see what he does. Faithful believers scattered out to the nations from Jerusalem after this hard persecution, and they take the gospel with them. God was doing something bigger. A surprising work. Now notice this. It's also unnamed Christians here that advance the gospel. Some of them are faithful to speak the gospel to other Jews. So this means as a Christian, the least you can do is share the gospel with people of your own culture. You ought to do that at a basic level. But then some of them join what God is doing to take the gospel to those not like them, the Gentiles. And again, this is a surprising work of God. Verse 21, it said, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. I want you to see this. God uses ordinary, unnamed people to advance the gospel through the ordinary events of life. He uses us. God wants and can use you to advance the gospel and grow the church here in Salt Lake City and around the world. And he's showing us here, we want to be faithful, just like these unnamed Christians, to whatever God calls us to, no matter what is going on. The events of your life are not random, but they are orchestrated by God so that you can grow in Jesus and you can be an agent of the kingdom wherever you go. That's what we see here. Will you have a surprising, faithful response in the midst of hardship? Will you trust God that he may be doing something, though he shakes up your life a bit, so that you can take the gospel to those who need it? Remember Acts chapter 4,572, verse 12? Then the faithful saints in Salt Lake City took the gospel to their workplace, and they shared it with the immigrants at Walmart, and some of them even hosted them in their homes and gave them a meal and shared the gospel with them. And they spoke to those on the plane as they traveled for work. And they cared for the homeless and the orphans and the widows. And they were bold with their neighbors. And some of them even learned Spanish and other languages to communicate the gospel. And a great number that they shared the gospel with believed and turned to the Lord Jesus. And the church in Salt Lake City grew. Do you want to join God? You going to join what God's doing or sit on the sidelines? That wasn't actually scripture, by the way, but if God allowed me to write scripture, that would be it. No, I don't want to write scripture. That's the faithful example of unnamed Christians, okay? And all of us are that, right? There's nothing going to be written about us, but in heaven one day, God will go, thanks for joining. Thanks for being faithful. Welcome. Now look at Barnabas and Paul and their faithful work. Another surprising faithful response. Acts 11, 22 through 26. It says, the report of this, more Gentiles coming to Jesus, came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and then they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad. And he exhorted the Christians there to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. I want you to see this. Barnabas, we had our unnamed Christians, and now we got Barnabas showing us a surprising, faithful response. He gives us an example of what a faithful response to the gospel and following Jesus in our city to save people not like ourselves should look like. I mean, when he goes and sees what God is doing, he was stoked. Like he was glad, it says. And we should be glad about what God is doing in our city, right? Among whoever he is saving. We see this church, it's growing an organization. They send Barnabas as a faithful man to check it out. And, you know, Syria or Antioch would have been in Syria, now modern-day Turkey. It would have been the third largest city in Rome at the time. And as God, as Barnabas goes there, he sees what God is doing, and he sees that this is a good thing. And again, it says there, he sees the gracious work of God, okay? Again, we see we are saved by grace apart from works. God did this out of the goodness of his heart to bring the gospel to the Gentiles and save them, not because of who they were, not because of what they had done, but because of what Jesus did. And Barnabas goes there and he goes, this is so cool. He's excited about what God is doing. People I would have never thought would come to Jesus. Barnabas is going, God is saving them by his grace. And this should be our response anytime we see God moving. Listen, it's easy to not rejoice when maybe you look around the valley and you see other churches having success for the gospel, or you see that God is doing something through them. That, you know, sometimes I look around and I go, we're doing the same thing, God. How come you're not using us like that? Well, God gets to choose, right? And it's easy not to rejoice. We can even get a little cranky, maybe even harden our hearts, right? Like, God, come on, right? But Barnabas shows us the right response. He is excited about what God is doing. Right? He sees the big work of God to save the world through Christ. He sees it being worked out here with the Gentiles. And he says, thank you. That is awesome. I want to be a part of that. So let's be a people that are excited for what God is doing in this valley, in this state, even if it doesn't always come through our hands. Right? Even if it's with people we may not enjoy. And we also see here Barnabas is a man of character. This is so important in ministry. You know, as a staff, we spent a half day a week or two ago on what it looks like to be people of character so that the gospel is reflected well in us. I mean, you are a Christian, as we're going to see here, by these folks in Antioch where we got our name. And everywhere you go, right, you reflect what you believe about Jesus. And so we need to be people that work at our holiness, that work at accountability, right, that work at living in the grace of God with other believers, so that when we go places, we are people of character that shine and reflect who God is. I mean, even this week, right, you've probably seen in the news, there's more and more pastors caught up in different scandals and different abuse cases. And it sickens me because it tarnishes the gospel in the world. And here it's saying Barnabas was a man of character. And may God give us grace to be those kind of people, right? And work at being that. In fact, Acts 4:6, it says, Barnabas's name means son of encouragement. And we see we're there, if you remember back, where he sold a field and gave the proceeds to the apostles. He is a man of character. He's a man of his word. He conducts his finances well. Acts 11:24, he says he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Right? I want those things said of me. I hope you want those things said of you, right? And when those things are said of us, you know who they reflect well on? The God that saved us. And that's part of how when we go, right, our character reflects on what we believe about who God is. And you might just ask yourself this morning, if someone looked at your life, what would your life say about the gospel? Does it reflect well? Right? Would they go, this is a man or a woman of character? And so we want to be people that represent the gospel well as God sends us out through the various things of life. Now look, Barnabas also in his faithful response throws fuel on this fire of the gospel. His attitude is, look, I see God is moving. This checks out. It accords with his word. How do I join what God is doing? Well, he sees a need for leadership and training, right? And so he sets out to go get Paul from Tarsus, and then they take a whole year and disciple these new believers about what it means to follow Jesus, right? So as you see God moving, one way we can join him is how do we help people grow in the Lord? What's God calling you to do to step in and help others grow in Jesus? Now, here at the end in these verses, it tells us that in Antioch, this is where people were first called Christians. And again, likely this term came about from the Gentiles in the city because they talked about Jesus so often, or Christ so often. Christian really means the Christ people, right? Like, we are the people of Christ. Others have said it means little Christ. Like, you are a little reflection of who Jesus is. I think it's always a good question when people say that of your life. Right? Would they go, that's a Christian right there. That's a little Jesus I see coming into my work. This is what God is calling us to be. You know, many, many years ago now when I was in college, back in the 1900s, as we like to say, I was working at Brighton Ski Resort making snow, and my boss there nicknamed me the Baptist, which I liked, because he saw, as compared to all the pot-smoking, alcoholic, I mean, you, whatever you want to add with the other lifties, I was there and I did my job well. He could depend on me, and he knew it was because I was a believer in Jesus. In fact, we had many discussions about that very thing, and I had many discussions with many of my coworkers that definitely did not know Jesus. But he would always call me the Baptist, and he, many years later, I saw him in the parking lot close to his retirement. He said, I knew I could always depend on you. Right? And when I told him I'd become a pastor, he said, well, of course, right? Like, you were the Baptist back then, you're still the Baptist now. But he said, your life looks like Jesus, right? As he even wrestled with his faith. And so God is moving in surprising ways, and Barnabas and these unnamed Christians have a surprising faithful response. And now let's look at a surprising overflow that happens when we join what God is doing. Look at these last few verses, verses 27 through 30. It says, now in those days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine all over the world. And this took place, actually, now, this was verified in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Okay, I love these verses. These are some cool verses here. So we could talk a lot about prophecy. Ask me about that another day. But basically the Spirit of the New Testament is speaking through prophets like Agabus. This is one of the gifts of the Spirit that both you can foretell and forthtell, meaning explain by God's word the current situation and what God wants us to do. But overall, this passage is showing us, when you join in with what God is doing, you have no idea the blessings that may come back your way. Okay, I want you to see this. Here you have a Gentile church, not even well-liked by their Jewish brothers. And what are they doing? Out of the goodness of their hearts and for the cause of Christ, they're sending relief to this other church that is not like them. That is amazing. Listen, only God can change hearts in a way that would make people want to do things like that. That is only the gospel. When people from different backgrounds and cultures come together and gather around this truth of the gospel and encouraging one another, that can only be the Holy Spirit's work in people's lives. And here they are giving generously, as it says, everyone according to his ability. And band, you can come on up here. I just want to mention one thing here about Christian giving. 2 Corinthians 9, 7 and 8. It says, as demonstrated in this passage, we are to give generously as our hearts have decided, not under compulsion, I'd say by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and cheerfully, right? Like when we give our offering on Sunday morning, we go, God, I want you to have this because I love you. Would you take it and use it? And I'm a firm believer there are enough resources in God's church to do whatever he has called us to do if we will be faithful to his voice to give. Way more than is ever needed. And listen, I want to say, our church does that really well. Thank you guys for being a church that gives. That you listen to the Spirit and you faithfully give. And let's renew our commitment to do this again this year. You know, part of our membership covenant is that we would give our time, our talents, and our treasure to what God is doing through this church, where he has called us to be for this time. Let's work at giving our time, our talents, and our treasures. What's God calling you to give? You have no idea how you give, how God may pay you back in blessings in days and years to come. It's amazing. I've seen it in my own life. Well, this morning as we come to a close, I want to share with you some cool things that God is doing through our church to bless other churches, how he has moved some of the members in our church to give and care for other churches where God is doing in the world. You know, missions is not just about going and sharing evangelism in another place. It is that. It's not less than that. But you also see in the Bible the churches send resources and people to encourage other churches. And so we have some of that going on this morning that I want to let you know about. Jackie and Tona are going to join me for this. This is really cool. A couple months ago, Pastor Sean, who we have on the wall here in Helsinki, he's had quite a change in his church staff. They sent out one church planner. They've had one person that has had to leave because of health reasons. Another has taken another job somewhere, and he said, you know what, my staff has kind of imploded. I need some help. And so I began asking around, and our own Jackie Soltis, our office manager, said, you know what, I'd love to go there and help out Pastor Sean. And so we're going to send Jackie this summer for 3 months. It's as long as she can stay in the EU. We're going to send her for 3 months to just help out Pastor Sean and his church. And we get to do that because of your good giving here at Risen Life. So she's going to help them do youth camps for their church there in Finland. They're going to do an evangelism conference in July in Germany. And then they're going to take some other short-term mission trips around the country and help them with worship and some of their office management. I just think that's a great way where we get to send somebody to help another church around the world as God advances the gospel. And that's not it. We're going to tell you some other things. So go ahead, Tono.
Yeah, so I like this last verses in the passage because it talks about missions. And something that we can rejoice is that what God is doing together with the church here in Salt Lake. So right now, there is, if you guys know Naveen, there is a graduation happening in Asha of pastors that we're training to pastor. And let me back up a little bit. So we raised support for Asha last time. If you guys remember, we were able to do one well for the community, but also part of those funds we're using to train pastors, which also Pastor Jerry was part of that. They're graduating right now in India. I don't know if this weekend or next weekend, but we as a church, we're going to keep supporting this ministry, and we're going to be able to support like a few of those pastors with some resources for them to be able to start planting churches in India. So that deserves an applause to the Lord. Yeah. So we're grateful for families, for individuals that are receiving this call also to put resources to go in missions. And there is a lot going on in missions here, but I just want to share what God is doing through Risen Life and Asha together in India.
Yeah, just to make that a little more specific, somebody gave a $5,000 donation to our church towards missions, and that's what's going to support Jackie as she gets to go there this summer. And somebody else gave a $5,000 donation, and that's what towards Asha, and that's what's going to support these pastors over the next year. So, church, we are doing this, and keep doing it, right? I mean, that's the word. Let's join with what God's doing. Even today, Pastor Sean and Jordan, one of our drummers, are over at the front church, helping them lead worship. And last week, we had John Perkins over at Valley Light preaching. Right? Like, God has blessed us, and then he says, how are you going to bless another church, right? How are you going to help advance the gospel around the valley and other places? So as we come now to a time of communion, we're going to come together. That's what communion is a time of coming together. We're not all the same, right? But we come together under this message of the gospel that we remember at communion. That God came, he sent his son because he loved us, and his son died on the cross to pay the penalty of our sins, and those that claim him as Lord have our sins forgiven, washed white as snow, and we stand holy and righteous before God, and he wants to grow that relationship with us from now into eternity. And so we celebrate that this morning. We believe here at Risen Life that communion is for believers in Jesus, so if you've given your life to Jesus, then you are welcome to partake with us as we affirm our commitment to him and our commitment to each other as a body of Christ. And so we're going to pass out these elements. The deacons are going to come forward Take a few minutes to consider your heart and your life. Are there things you need to confess before the Lord? This is a great time to experience His grace towards us again as we think about His body broken for our sins and His blood that cleanses us. And if you have kids, take a few minutes to explain to your children what's going on in this moment. Pray with them as you pray. And if they have given their life to Jesus, then they are welcome to join us. But let's take a few minutes before the Lord and prepare our hearts for this time of communion. Thank you.